We are now through the technical witnesses and into the planners, so I'll next call Mr. Hepburn.
Thank you.
I've provided evidence on behalf of Waihopo Runaka, Te Runanga o Awaroa, Te Runanga o Oraka Aparima, and Tokonui Runaka, and Te Runanga o Naitahu, collectively referred to as Naitahu. My evidence relates to planning matters. I filed revised evidence on 6 September 2017. The main points in my evidence. Ngā Runanga sought an amendment to how Mahinga Kai is referred to in the Southland Water and Land Plan. The definition sought and Ngā Runanga's primary submission did not entirely capture the concept. The amended wording I've suggested in my revised evidence for the glossary definition of Mahinga Kai is as follows. The customary gathering of food and natural materials, the health of their related ecosystems, and the places where those resources are gathered. In further discussion with Ngā Runanga, it was identified that the definition in my revised evidence does not wholly encompass the breadth that is the cultural practice of Mahinga Kai. However, I continue to support the definition as set out above, as it utilises a three-pronged approach to Mahinga Kai, which includes the practice or action, the habitat, and the space. I consider this three-pronged approach better explains the cultural practice of Mahinga Kai. I also consider that it is implicit in this approach in the proposed definition that it incorporates the health and vitality of the Mahinga Kai species and those who carry out the practice of Mahinga Kai. As to how te reo terms are defined in the proposed Southern Water and Land Plan, I have a preference that Mahinga Kai and other te reo terms are included in the glossary rather than footnoted. It may be that digital use of the proposed plan means that hyperlinks and pop-up boxes would assist in the use of all terms used in the plan, not just te reo terms. The submission and further submission by Ngā Runanga raised concerns about what was and what was not considered to be a watercourse for the purpose of the proposed plan. I understand the Resource Management National Environmental Standards for Plantation Forestry Regulations 2017 were recently gazetted and include a definition for perennial river, which is as follows. It means a river that is a continually or intermittently flowing body of fresh water if the intermittent flows provide habitats for the continuation of the aquatic ecosystem. I understand from listening to the questioning of previous submitters that an option could involve the inclusion of the term perennial river, as defined above, in the place of both intermittent water body and ephemeral water body. I consider that this definition would go part of the way to addressing the concerns of Ngā Runanga. However, the concern remains that contaminants can still enter water bodies from overland flow paths. It may be that this could be addressed through first addressing overland flows within a critical source area, as defined by a farm management plan, and that appropriate mechanisms, including where necessary stock exclusion, are employed in these areas. Further work on critical source areas could occur through the freshwater management unit process. After listening to the evidence of Karina Jordan from Beacon Land New Zealand, I can understand her desire to ensure that overland flow is differentiated from rivers and water bodies, or whichever term is ultimately used in the operative plan. She also makes the point that it needs to be simple enough for a layperson to be able to know if what they are looking at is considered a waterway or not, which I also agree with. I support the amended definition of habitat in the Section 42A report, as it adequately provides for situations where organisms and ecological communities have been forced to live outside of their natural environment. And similarly, I support the inclusion of Naitahu indicators of health in the Section 42A report, which provides for Maturanga Māori indicators on the health of water bodies in Southland, in addition to those of Western Science. Thanks.
Thank you very much. See if you have questions. I know we start at your end.
I really only have one, and it's because I don't know all the Māori words, so when I read a plan like this, I actually like a very quick reference point, and I actually quite like the footnote idea, but that's a personal thing. So, so I suppose that's his preference, really. It's about how, trying to understand what is actually said And we've had other submitters that say in the very first part of the plan, where there's quite an extensive Maori commentary, that the English translation would be handy so that people can actually see what is being said. So within that, do you have any views on what is the easiest? Because I'm very conscious for the Tahu to read it, they actually understand a lot of the stuff and the very big meanings that very simple words have. But for a layperson like myself, when I read it, I send quick references because I want to get into that understanding as quickly as I can so that I can get the context of the text.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think my key point is that te reo terms should be provided for to the same extent as their English counterparts. It's because they're equally important in the context of the plan.
Sorry, can I just add one thing? I guess as we're moving more and more towards digital plans, a lot of key terms and definitions and things can actually, I guess, pop up and things now as well. So I guess that's part of it. And also, if you're going to look at maybe using terms in brackets, some of the terminology, the definition, that'd be too long to actually just bracket beside it. So I guess one thing, and if it's okay with the panel, that we could actually go and look at just how some of these terms could actually be defined, whether or not some of them could be in brackets beside the te reo term, if some of them are better in the definition, and if, where necessary, we could put some in as a footnote if needed, if it's a whole new term and it's not saying that there's been a definition it's used once. If that's...
Yeah, that'd be very helpful, and because I think I asked the question earlier on and I asked you to remember to answer it, was whether or not you were happy with having the English interpretation in brackets after the word in the way that it currently is addressed in the Te Manawa Wai part of the plan. So yeah, if you could do that sort of across the plan review, and I guess the three options are in brackets the first time the word appears, the te reo word appears, or to define it in the glossary, or to use a footnote. Unlike my colleague, I don't like footnotes. We could avoid them if possible, but... So either yeah, in brackets in the body of the text or in the glossary, I think, would be helpful.
Okay.
What sort of time frame would that need?
Probably deliver it at the same time we're delivering the information.
Which was the end of next week, right?
Next week.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
The whole question is due.
Yeah, just one. In your pre-circulated evidence, you talk about some kind of graduation system on wetlands, wetland natural and significant wetlands. I think that's 4.16 in that. How would you envisage that's done? To be incorporated into some sort of schedule somewhere, or how would you expect that would actually work practically?
Sorry, the wetlands, that wasn't 4.21, was it?
4.16 in my copy of the one dated 12 May.
All right. Sorry, bear with me for half a moment.
No worries.
My 4.16 is regarding habitat, not specifically wetland.
I'm sorry, I'm...
Show me what you want.
Send the next one over.
So my understanding is this was amended into the Section 42A report.
Yep.
So prior to that, from memory, it was different wording, and there could be possibly different levels of permissiveness based on the rules for the different categories. So this seemed to clarify.
Okay. I just wondered whether the same should apply to other significant freshwater courses, rivers or whatever, and why you would just perhaps apply it only to a wetland situation. Right? If you're looking at the broader Mahingakai, does it have a wider application?
It could do. I only considered that one because it had been introduced, but if we have some time to think about possibly using that for rivers or the like. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think we want you to attempt to identify regionally significant rivers or lakes.
No.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
But we take the point you made about the wetlands.
Yep.
Yep, Mr. Touch.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hepburn. I've explored various derivatives of Mahina Kai, so I'm quite happy with that now, thank you. And the critical source areas, that's quite a key focus of ours as well, in terms as we're looking at environmental management plans, so take on point, on board that point as well, in your reference to perennial waterways. So, thank you. Okay, no questions.
Yes, Mr. General, I have some questions for the planners, but I'm not sure whether Mr. Hepburn or Ms. Davidson would be best to answer them. Perhaps I'll wait until Ms. Davidson's given her evidence and then see who's best to answer the particular question. Would that be okay?
Sure. Yep.
Righto, thanks.
I've just got two questions and either of you can answer them. First, the question I put to Dr. Tipper, the use of the phrase Ngāi Tahu indicators of health versus the phrase that was saying Ngāi Tahu indicators of cultural health. As planners, do you have a view on that?
Ngāi Tahu indicators of health is used in Te Tangi, and my preference would be that is used because it's self in context. It does then use, I guess, as Gail talked about, the cultural indicators of health as well, but just bearing in mind that some of the conversations might actually go further than that, that in Te Tangi it does bring in economic and social factors as well. So what Gail talked about was part of that discussion.
Yeah. I pronounce that good. So it's used in Te Tangi, so therefore it's the Southland context.
Yes.
No, that's good. I just wanted to ask you about two definitions in particular, because the definitions are used in rules and the rules have force of regulation, so they need to be watertight and not vague. And the first definition I wanted to ask you about was the definition of Mahina Kai. Mr. Hepburn, that appears on the first page of your handout today, so that's helpful. And I understand that has three parts. When I look at the customary gathering of food and natural materials, to me that's quite clear. I understand what that means. And the third component, the places where those resources are gathered, that's quite clear, so that's a place you would go. The bit I'm a bit unclear about is the health of their related ecosystems. I'm not convinced that 10 people independently looking at that definition would come to the same conclusion as to what that means. I also understand from the evidence that preceded yours that rather than the health of the related ecosystems, it was more the health of the resource being harvested that was the issue. So can you help me more with either of those two queries?
So the health of the resource being harvested is definitely an issue as well. I had in mind, when I said the health of the related ecosystems, I was thinking things like water quality, air quality, and the like. But yeah, I was also, I'm intending that this definition, if there's any ambiguity, can be taken and complemented by the iwi management plan.
Yeah, but that wouldn't help a user of the plan. So if I was sitting on a resource consent hearing, I'd look at the definition. I wouldn't necessarily go away and try to find some other plan to help me understand what the definition meant. So do you mean the health of the ecosystem, or do you mean the health of the resource being harvested, or do you mean both?
I mean both.
So dealing with that issue, should the definition say the health of the resource being harvested?
I would like to add something like that, but keeping the health of the ecosystem in the definition as well.
And so in terms of that as a decision maker, how would I know what ecosystem I should be looking at, and how would I know what its health is?
Perhaps could we have an opportunity to
maybe
return a slightly amended definition with the other
words? Yeah, that's a good idea. So go away and have a think about it. Maybe involve Mr. Winchester. But the key would be so that if we gave this definition blind, like a blind wine tasting to 10 people, they would all come to pretty much the same conclusion as to what it means. And I'm happy with the first and the third parts, but I'm just a bit unclear about the middle part. And if you did incorporate the resources being harvested, I'd be happy with that. That's quite clear. So probably my residual query would be around the ecosystems reference. So if you can assist in that regard, that would be good.
Thank you.
The second definition I want to ask you about is Ngāi Tahu indicators of health. So do you have that definition in front of you? It's in the, we can put the plan in front of you. It's in the glossary. the section 42A recommendation. Winchester's helpfully finding it for you. So if you place that in between yourselves, you can both chip in there. When I look at that definition, it appears to me the first paragraph isn't really a definition, it's more of a kind of explanation or an introduction. And to me, the definition is actually the second paragraph, but only a part of it. There's a definition that says the indicators could include, but are not limited to, is also not all that helpful, because then I'm wondering, well, okay, well that's good, but what are these other things that could also be included? So would it be, and again, you might want to go around and think about this, would it be suitable to say the indicators are those provided on page 150 of Te Tangi, to make that the definition, and then underneath that to have a note that would incorporate the words in the first paragraph, and it would be clear that that was a note but not part of the definition. So that's something, again, I'd like you to maybe go away and think about, and know the outcome I'm looking for, which is a definition that's pretty crystal clear and sharp. But I'm quite happy in this case, given the nature of the term, to have a note under it to help explain the definition, which is not normal practice, but I think it would be okay here.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks.
I had no further questions, but thanks for your evidence.
All right.